guess we'll get started. My name is Dave and I'm an addict.
Hello, Dave.
I'm like going to muddle through this because they just, Dennis just threw me in here at 10 o'clock. This is the H&I workshop speaker, I guess. I'm just going to start. This is the press media announcement. Statement to members regarding the press. Our 11 tradition states our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. The primary purpose of our public relations efforts is to tell the story of Narcotics Anonymous and what our program offers to the still suffering addict. Members of the press are sometimes attracted to our convention and we welcome their interest. However, we do not disclose our last names in the media as identifiable members of Narcotics Anonymous. If a member of the press approaches you, please direct them to the chair or vice chair of the convention. Statement of the media, if any members of the media are present, we ask you to contact the chair or vice chair of the convention for information. Welcome. Then just a social media statement. The widespread use of social media networking and social media by our fellowship indicates that these forms are resources that can serve to facilitate greater communication and interaction among Narcotics Anonymous members. With that being said, some of our members may not want to be depicted in photos on social media platforms. Please be mindful of this and get permission from the members if you intend to post their photos on any type of social media. Thank you for allowing me to do that. And can we please have the clarity statement?
Hi, Ron Madigan, Dick.
Hello, Dick.
At NA meetings, we introduce ourselves as addicts. When members introduce themselves as addicts and alcoholics, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. Speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, and somehow one drug is separate from the rest, requiring special recognition. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive in reference to the disease of addiction, allowing us to focus on our similarities and not our differences. Thank you all.
Thank you for reading.
Thank you. Can we please have the reading of Who's an Addict?
My name is Vic and I'm an addict.
Hey, Vic.
Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another. Getting used to and finding ways to get more. We live to more than we just live. Very simply, an addict is a man whose life is controlled by drugs. There are people in grip for continuing and progressive illness who then are all the same deals as
students and such. Thanks, Vic. Sorry to be speaking while you were reading. Can we please have the reading of Why Are We Here?
I'm Cody, and I'm an addict.
Hello, Cody.
Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not live in our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed our use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we are actually creating our own problems. We seem to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realize that in our addiction we were slowly committing suicide, but addiction is such a cunning enemy to life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help through medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other in Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point. Recovery is impossible.
Thank you. So we have two speakers that have blessed and honored us today to do this. The first speaker that I will give you is a woman that I just met from New Jersey. Her name is Debbie.
Hi, I'm an addict. My name's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Yeah, I met Denny on a Zoom meeting during the pandemic, and he's pretty awesome. So when I told him I was coming, he asked me to speak, and he was like, H&I, and I'm like, Denny, I can't speak on H&I. I'm not on, you know, and I started saying I'm not because of what I was doing right then in my life, you know. Even though I do go into, whenever I'm asked, I go into a rehab and speak. And they know that. They know that I don't say no. So, But when I thought about it, I was on the H&I committee on the whole, I would go to the meeting because you had to go in the woman's jail back in the 80s and maybe 90. So, but I know who I am, and I'm one of those people. I mean, I have a huge respect for those diehard H&I panel, this is it for me, you know, because it's necessary. I respect it. And but I'm just, I'm not that disciplined in some areas. one thing that I really love about the area I live in is when the GSR gives her report, our area service is held at 6 o'clock on a Sunday, and 4 o'clock is our H&I committee meeting, and they announce it every week. And that's what they do in our area, and I think that's a really good idea. And H&I has always been very, very strong. Even when I lived in Ocean County, it was the most important commitment. But I remember when I got about a year clean, and I was like, oh my God, what a mess I was. You know, it's a miracle that I came here, stayed here. I think I had about a year, and the woman sponsoring me took me to the prison, you know, state institution. And I was just like, no, what am I going to say? I was just this 33-year-old, maybe 34-year-old white female living in on welfare, 4 crazy kids. What do I have to say to anybody? Mm. How naive was I? See, that jails, institutions, and death, I hadn't really totally got with that. Because I wasn't, you know, I'm not that bad yet. Mm. You know, maybe I was still doing all that stuff. Maybe I'm really not. Like, so I went to this prison, and she looked at me one day as we were walking in and said, this is powerlessness. And I'm like, wow. You know, this is... So we walked in, and we sat in this room, and the room was packed with women everywhere, mm-hmm. sitting on the floor. And I started to share most of, like, I mean, I had about a year clean, maybe going on 2. I was clean, so I had something to offer, you know, and I just talked about what was going on in my life at that moment, and a lot of what I shared about was fear. There was a lot of fear in what I talked about, because I was crippled with fear. Mm-hmm. And then the women started sharing, and there was one woman sitting over up against the wall. Some of them had some hard stories. Mm-hmm. And she was sitting there on the floor, and she said, yeah, I have 2 kids that are home, and I fed my kids cereal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, too. She said, and I just used alcohol, and that's why I'm here. And when she said that to me, because I thought, well, I wasn't that bad. I was just like a, you know, a speed freak and drank, you know, when I stayed home, and the cop man was probably somebody that was trying to hit on me, so I took advantage of him, you know. It was ridiculous. So I just justified and rationalized everything. But when that woman spoke that day, I went home, and it usually, the transition for me came in like 3 days later. I sat with it, and I realized, oh my God, jails, institution, and death applies to me, mm-hmm. you know. And today I know jails and institutions just slow us down. Really, truly, this disease is life-threatening. And, yeah, you know, there is the women's jail commitment now is run by some kind of reckless people. And a lot of people don't want to participate. And there's this one woman who moved from Florida, and she's talking about, that's not the way we do it. You know, why can't, I'm not joining that. And while I was here and Denny had asked me this, it's almost like higher powers tap. How about thinking about it? And I'm thinking this morning that I think I'm going to look into her and I bringing a meeting together in, because she's hardcore and she's serious and she wants to follow the traditions and she wants to follow the guidelines, and these women aren't doing that. It's almost like somebody's got to do it. Okay, I'll do it half, you know. And in my area too, like a GSR commitment now I was always a year. They decided it's going to be 6 months. And I'm like, what?
Nobody's stepping up.
And it's making a difference because people are stepping up. Yeah. Oh, I'll do 6 months. So maybe, you know, maybe if I get people on a panel and say, if you could do it for 3 months even, commit to 3 months, that might help bring more people into it. You know, it was just a thought. But I haven't... I haven't gone to the jail in many years, but we do have a rehab that we go into. And I was asked to speak one night by these two women. And when they walked in the room, they started from the door, clapping their hands and saying, and the whole crowd was getting crazy. Hey, we're back. And they were, and they had their panel, and they had our key tags, and they described each key tag, you know, and they were hooting and hollering and happy, and everybody was glad to see them. And I'm like, damn, I'm coming back next week.
Yeah. Mm.
So I started doing that for like probably about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And those are the women that asked me to speak in there. And see, I try to conform. I try to be a conformist because I was always not. And the rules didn't apply to me. So that's probably why I don't want to commit to, because what if I break the rules? I need to take, you know, I was going to call my sponsor before I came in here, because like a lot of times engaging with other people forced me to see myself. Like, I am very capable of seeing who I am. I see myself coming, like Usman would always say. And thank God, you know, I just celebrated 37 years. And
awesome.
Yeah, and you know what? This is the best, the year. And I don't know if it was because of the pandemic and Zoom and being, you know, having to really be with myself, but it's tremendous, the insight I have on myself, you know. And and lately I've been saying, you know, if somebody's too fucked up, it's like somebody else will help them. And that's so awful. I hear myself saying it. I can't be the end all be all for everybody, but I used to carry the weight of the world on my shoulders. So, but I could feel myself moving, and I don't know. I don't want to. And I guess even being here right now, and I'm looking forward to hearing you guys speak on H&I, because I know you're in the trenches, and it's not an easy thing to do. I heard two guys speak last night in there, and they blew me away. And I know what kind of recovery they have by just the way they carried themselves. And you know, when the pandemic hit, I was devastated. And the Zoom meeting, I went every day to 10 a.m., the coffee time that Denny was wearing. That's that's my Zoom home group. Then I have an outside home group. But I felt like a newcomer. It's like everything caved in on me. I forgot everything I ever knew. Oh, my God, was it bad. And you know what? I said one day in that meeting, I am a newcomer. I feel like, and you know what? I still feel that way, even though I'm not devastated, but I want more of what this program has to offer, and I'm willing to make the effort to get it. And I hear it over and over again that you can't keep what you have without giving it away. You know, and it comes from, like, I have this life-saving message. I live it. How could I ever decide, somebody else to take care of me? Somebody else can do that. Maybe I'm retired now. I can do whatever I want. You know, and I think by even being here, I'm gonna get emotional, because I think it's time to take a more mature, serious commitment to Narcotics Anonymous. Instead of just get what I, you know, because believe me, I think about myself a lot. You know what I mean? And I'm standing on 2 feet today, and I have solid recovery, and I know I do. Because why? Because I was vigilant with this program, and I put in the effort. And So when I go home, I'm going to talk to Cindy, and I'm going to see what we can do about bringing a message in. And the thing that I have to really know is that I am going to commit to it, because it is a 100% commitment. And I admire people, because that's not a quality that I have. I mean, I can finish things. I do. I'm in college right now. I'm becoming a photographer.
Okay.
I got cameras. I got stuff. But I don't know the computer system. I don't know how to navigate Word even, just the dumb stuff that I figured out. And I'm in class learning the camera and how to, and I'm asking the teacher questions that most of all the 18-year-olds around me knows.
Yeah.
So this week, this 5 weeks, I've taken a Word, you know, a computer processing and computer technology, which I didn't know about that. So now I know what all the cords are and where they plug in and what a motherboard is. And I was like, damn, I could build a computer. Like, I mean, but if I'm willing to commit to something like that, and I'm willing to commit to, you know, the first commitment I ever made in my entire life was to Narcotics Anonymous. And I had four kids and was running around crazy. And that shit just happened. This was a commitment. So, you know, I'm like, God, why did Daddy ask me to speak? Like, I'm not, you know, but what it's done for me is it's made me take a good hard look. It, you know, I need to step it up. Because I have this guy, Bill, in my life, and he's wonderful. He's got 2 years clean.
Okay.
He's all about H&I. You know, all about it. And it's crazy because there's a handful of people, maybe even three. And when the commitments are there, you know, we're voting on, they're like, oh, hey, Bill will do it. He's always done it. And that's just not right.
No,
there's got to be another way. And I think maybe saying, well, will you be willing to take it for 3 months? Because Bill doesn't, you know, why should it always be Bill's responsibility? So I've learned something. You guys have taught me something. And I'm looking forward to hear from the rest of you. So that's it for me.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you for sharing.
The next gentleman
is a real deal.
Not the next gentleman, because that implies that there was a gentleman before. The next speaker is Wolsey.
Good afternoon, or no, good still morning. Yes. Good morning. Good morning. I'm a grateful recovering act. My name is Walt.
Hey, Walt.
I'm from the Pasna area, Pittsburgh. Okay. A clean date, 7/23/06. Okay. So we're coming up on 17.
All right. Awesome.
Nice.
And I have to say this. I was so excited, you know, to be asked, because God wanted something to come out of my mouth. Because I put my spirituality into this thing. And I have to say this. In anything you do, you got to find your niche. And I guess H&I ends up being my niche, because I have been PASNA's H&I chairperson like 8 different years.
Nice.
I've been the regional H&I chair for a year. And my thing is, if I can help somebody get as least as far as I've gotten in this recovery thing, I'm just giving God his due for saving my wretched behind. And that's the truth of the matter. I really enjoy H&I. And the reason I enjoy H&I is may go to an outside meeting, and somebody who heard my story when they were in a facility would come up to me and hug me. Hey, you're Walt. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. I remember you when you came to speak at ba-da-da. I'm like, and the crazy thing is, I may not remember them, but they remembered me and they remembered my story, and they're there. You know, because I give an H&I lead a little different than I would give a lead in Narcotics Anonymous meetings. Because my main thing when I go into a facility is to let these people know, because some of them are in their facility for the first time. Some just may not have gotten it to click yet, but to let them know there's some place to go after they have been released from their facility, you know, because there's big mistakes that take place as far as like, oh, I'm good now, I'll go home or whatever. And next thing you know, you're right back in the same old groove you were in that put you in there. My thing is, I want to extend a hand to these people to let them know there's a place to come. There's a place to live. We have fun here, you know. Recovery can be fun, but there's more to recovery than just being in the meetings. You know what I mean? We have to bring in young people, we have to give them a little bit of excitement, you know. And my big thing is this. Things have changed since I first came into this. My original clean day was July 8th of 96. And my first sponsor, he took me by the hand after I had gotten 6 months and took me to our area service. He didn't ask me if I wanted to go. He didn't say, "Do you think you'll make like this?"
You're going.
Yeah. He took me by the hand, took me there, sat me down at the H&I table, and told me to sit there and listen. You know, that's something that we miss wholeheartedly nowadays. I would like to reinstitute that type of thinking process, you know, and allow them to find out the desperation behind this, because right now, I mean, we had desperation when we came in, but right now, I think the death toll based on these drugs, especially if they're tainted with fentanyl, is outrageous. I lost a son last year. He passed away from a fentanyl overdose. And I keep going in my mind and asking myself, what did I do? What could I have done better or whatever? And I realize I can only do what I could do. Right now, what I really want to do is try to prevent any other young person, because he'd have been 30 this year. You know, is young people are going by the wayside, and because they don't have the information they need. I want to pass along this information, my experience, strength, and hope, where I've come from, what I am going through, and where I'm looking to go. And you can do this in Narcotics Anonymous. This is what place where dreams are awakened. You know, and once you awaken those dreams and you see a path, God will show you a path. At least my God does. Yeah. And I remember when I had relapsed. I had relapsed a couple times trying to save my daughter's mother because I thought I was the great I am. Mm-hmm. I thought that if I grabbed you by the hand, come on, you're not getting high no more, blah, blah, blah. And found out it ain't that easy. Oh, and we did. And we did. Twice. I mean, on two different, you know, occasions. Lost my clean date a couple different times. I lost my clean date to money, property, and prestige all within that first 10 years. Okay? And I ain't got multiples on quite a few occasions. The thing is, though, it don't matter how much clean time I have. It's where my spirit is. What am I doing to feed my spirit? I got to come here to these Narcotics Anonymous meetings. I have to gravitate toward people who've been here so I can learn. I'm trying to instill in my H&I, come and learn. Because we have people here who have many years clean and successful lives, and you can do it too, but you got to come and sit and talk. You got to, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. You got to ask some questions. You have to gravitate. I remember when I first came around, we would like pass newcomers around, or newcomers got passed around. Somebody brought them. They go to a meeting. Okay, they may go to another meeting. Then it's lunchtime. This person has to go here, but they hand them off to another person. Here, you take them, blah, blah, blah. Y'all go have lunch, blah, blah. They're like, well, I ain't got no lunch money. Did anybody ask you if you had lunch money? You're going to go eat. You know, that's the way it was, because we grabbed our newcomers and they brought them along with us. You know, and I'm the type of person that wants to try to rekindle it, because that's when the fire was in the recovery. That's when the fire brought people to, yeah, I want to do this. I want to do this. And when I got into the H&I, I loved it. Because when you look in those people's eyes when they first come into these rehabs, these detoxes, and you can see that, you can see that their spirit is gone. There's no light. That helps me get another day clean, because I remember those positions I was in, and I don't want to relive them. And if I can help somebody else get through that, if you can get one day clean out of something I've said, then like God has used me in His way. This is something that I hold near and dear. The H&I is something that's very, very serious to me. Because what's that phrase? There's a phrase. On a lot of occasion, I may be the only basic text an addict may find. Yes. And that is something that means a lot to me. So that means I got to carry myself a certain way. That makes me responsible. That makes me a responsible person. That makes me have to walk a certain way, talk a certain way, live up to this thing. I can't go fall back. I can't act like the people from the street and just give a message of recovery. Because that right there looks like, well, the recovery's in the syringe or in the crack pipe. No, it's not. The recovery is right here in these rooms. It's my responsibility to let these people, young and old, in these facilities, there's a better way. There's a better way. And in me doing so, that's my way of showing gratitude, to be totally honest. I hear a lot of people share, my gratitude is this, my gratitude is that, and they don't know what idea of what gratitude is. Gratitude is not being grateful. Gratitude is, what am I willing to do to show that I am grateful? And what I do is I talk to these people. God has helped me. He's shown me. Now it's time to open my mouth and allow these people to know what they can have as well. I know a lot of people have started businesses. I know a lot of people have gotten married. I know a lot of people that are doing things right now that, I guess you could say, extraordinary. But they had to come through this to allow that to come out. You know, I was told, and I've witnessed, that we addicts, we're the most intelligent people in the world. Who else can think of getting high every day or finding a way to get high every day and not have a dime in their pocket? I mean, think about that. Now, if we allow a higher power to guide us, and that higher power allows us to unlock what we do know up here, we can do anything we choose. We can do anything we choose. I have a God who's awesome. He's put me on a mission to basically, I'm working on a program that I want to put under a 501c3. And I'm taking it one step at a time. And I can basically see it, you know. I can see the vision. And that is so extraordinary. And it was only from coming into here and allowing you people to talk to me, be open-minded, that allow you people to come and pour into me, that I can pour into somebody else. And that only comes through coming to these rooms. That's why I do H&I. So that we have people who can come to these rooms. We can bring them in from these places that they have been, these dark places, and let them know that there is a place to go. You're not by yourself, never alone. You know what I mean? And never again. This is something like, you know, it gets me real excited. Real excited. I just hope that I can just be the man that I'm supposed to be. Because I can go up in my head and do some dumb stuff. You know, I don't pick up, but then I'm like, okay, this is a learning experience. All right, deal with the consequences of this action and move on. Now I know what not to do. You know, this is always going to be a big classroom to me. I'll never graduate from it, but I'm always going to try to pull as much information that I possibly can. And I was taught that as long as I stay open-minded, I can learn something new until the day they throw dirt on me. And that's what I intend to do. But the thing is, I want to leave some type of legacy as well, as far as recovery-wise and professionally and things of that nature. Currently, I am a supervisor at the Pittsburgh Job Corps Center, and I work with a lot of young minds. I mean, the kids that come in there are 16 to 24. You know, most of them come from hard lives, you know, different things. And I reach out to these young men. I reach out to them because they know of the streets, but there's something beyond that. And here's an opportunity to get an education for free. An education for free, a trade, pick up a trade. You know, if they don't have their GED and get their GED, they can go get a trade or whatever. I actually have a couple of them that are in recovery, you know. And I remember this one guy, he was caught up on crystal. And he says he was getting high, you know, coming in, back going out on leaves and stuff and coming back out. I'm like, I didn't put him in for testing or anything. The thing is, because they test you and you test positive, you're gone. I brought him a basic text. And I talked to him about recovery. As of now, he has stopped. He actually went, got his trade, did his trade, graduated from his trade, and now he's in the college program. These are the type of things that can happen when somebody is open-minded and listening, you know, and I have to put it out there to them. There's a better life. There's a much better life. And just watch a person blossom. That feels so good. But it all starts with H&I. It all starts with the experienced addict reaching out to these new people. Where would we be if we couldn't go to these facilities and touch these people? Let them know, come on in. It's okay. Take them by the hand. You know, people are scared. I mean, that first H&I meeting can be, I mean, that first Narcotics Anonymous meeting outside of the facility can be scary because you don't know anybody or anything. Reach out, greet, hug. You're in the right place. These are the things that, like, make me want to do this day after day. I have a home group that meets on Saturday night. I mean, this is crazy. I work overnights. And I came here from work. I go on to get a couple hours sleep. Then my home group meets tonight at 7. Then I'm going to lay down for a few more minutes so I can be at work at 11:45 tonight and do this all over again. You know? And he gives me the strength to do that. Because he asked me to do this. And I'm not going to throw his gift back up in his face again. I've done it before. I'm not guaranteed to get the gift again. So I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to help God in any kind of way that I can to help save his people here. Thanks for letting me share.
Before we open it up, anybody have any questions or comments for the two speakers? Go ahead, sir.
Okay, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, I have a question. I do an H&I commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything in policy or anything that states that you shouldn't give out your number when you give a meeting list?
Okay. Yeah, the answer, I can answer.
Well,
you both speak on it.
You know, what's crazy is that to help myself get in touch with doing, you know, H&I mindset, I listened to somebody on the H&I workshop in, like, Georgia on the way here, and they were asking that exact same question. And I don't know if it's in the – I think it might be in the policy. But there is some, and it's not, maybe it's not worded exactly that way, and but there's guidelines that keep us from overstepping. When you go into H&I, you're giving a presentation.
Right.
It's way different than a meeting, and
right.
Maybe that example right there is one of the ways that it is different. I just went into rehab last week. And those girls, they want to be clean, but we know if you're not set up when you go out, that you're in danger of relapsing. But I told them about a convention that we're having. And, you know, that I told them, if you show up there, I'm going to give my name to the desk. You tell them, get in touch with Debbie, I'll leave my number, and I got a room. And I'm hoping that they come. But so what this suggestion was, tell that person, what meeting you go to, maybe show up at this meeting, and that's the place you give your number.
Yeah,
okay.
But not in a rehab.
That's normally what I do when I give out a meeting list, and when people say they don't have a ride, or they don't know, or they don't know anybody. So I don't know if it's the right thing to put my number on that meeting list, or just wait for them to come to a meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they got to do some work themselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because when I was in rehab, I was lost, and we didn't have an H&I commitment to rehab I went to. We did an NA meeting. But it was amongst the people in rehab. Like, how am I chairing a meeting and I'm clean 10 days? You know, and that's how the rehab it was that I went. Mm-hmm. That's how they worked it. You know, so I was just wondering if I don't.
That's a good question.
But
anybody have an answer?
World puts out a guideline.
Yes.
And so I have it in my room in the dorm, and because I'm big in H&I in my area. And it does state that we are not to give our numbers.
Right.
Okay. But the areas that I got clean in, way around that, is our meeting list had, like she said, had our phone numbers as contact information. So I would say, hey, come to this meeting list, and if you can't get, call it. You know, because we did back there, Tidewater area in Virginia, put two contacts on each home group's meeting list and our printed meeting list. Hey, call them. That's what they're there for.
Yeah,
they're there too, in case a newcomer doesn't need a ride, or needs a ride, or doesn't know how to get there, and that's what they're for. And I would say, this is my home group, show up there, and that's where I'll meet you at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. So the guidelines are, they're not rules, because it's...
They're just guidelines.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the right answer, I guess.
Okay. I was going to share on that as well. You're right, that blue binder.
I have it in my room right now.
You know, it has everything in it.
How do you get one?
The regional office. Our regional office over at Homestead has them. Okay.
You can.
There's a lot of information that our area.
Well, yeah. Their guidelines. Handed down by the world, but the thing is, you have to take a look at why they were actually created.
Yeah, you gotta look in the background of it.
Yeah, well, the background of it is this. All right, say you are you're sharing at a facility, and you give your phone number and address to somebody. They may come out of there and go back to using. Next thing you know, you may have them calling you and at your front door trying to get some money. These are things to protect the fellowship. Okay? Also, in this particular binder, you're going to find out that there's actually procedures of even setting up H&I meetings in these facilities. Number one, we're not supposed to even set up an H&I meeting unless it's a facility where people cannot come out for an open meeting. Okay? All right, another thing is this. We're supposed to meet with the H&I chair, the outreach chair, and the PI chair, and they go to the facility and find out what is needed, what is wanted. Then we tell them what we can do. Another thing involving that is the letters of intent and all that stuff that need to be caught in the file, because a lot of people don't realize we, as Narcotics Anonymous, we are pretty much in service, and our service is pretty much governed by our traditions. Okay? These rehabs, they're civil. They go by civil law, you know? So if something happens in this facility, they're not going to quote anything from any of our traditions. They're going to call the police. They're going to enter civil law, and we have to look at these guidelines to help us protect the fellowship. And these are the reasons, I mean, they're suggestions, but as it also says are in our traditions, they're not negotiable. You know.
Go ahead, sir.
Greg Maddox.
Greg.
I was just thinking that, you know, we have our H&I handbook, like they're talking about,
mm-hmm.
and that's our policies and guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go into a facility, we have to follow their rules and regulations.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of people don't understand that, you know. But, you know, we have what they call the do's and don'ts. And it tells
exactly.
you right in there, do this or, you know, don't talk about this or do talk about that. And there are reasons for that. But if we follow those do's and don'ts and the guidelines, we shouldn't be breaking any of their rules,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so... So, yeah, and the other thing about the giving out the phone number thing, say I write my number down on the meeting schedule or whatever, so say Hank will start calling you while he's still in jail and either trying to get you to put money on the books or con you into something mm-hmm. and get your ass in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's there for your protection. You know, like you said, we usually they have the regional hotline number on the meeting schedules, so... They can go through that avenue without actually putting a name to the number in a way of protecting the
mm-hmm.
individual. That's all I got.
Thank you.
I'm an addict named Bill.
Hey, Bill.
And before I start, I always have to thank God for allowing me to be alive every day and living a new life. And for me, like, I love H&I, you know. I'm better at going in there and talking than being in the management side of it, so to say. But I was always taught, you know, that an H&I commitment is not about what you did or how you got there, but introducing these people to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Because if they know more about me when I leave and nothing about the program, I did an injustice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's about telling them what this program can do for you. You know, because I've been in places... And, like, I've had people come up, like, yo, can I get your phone number? No, listen, I said, I can't. You know, I said, there's meeting lists there. You know, come to a meeting, and I'll give you my phone number there, like everybody just said, you know. And in my area, we're from Scranton.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of the treatment centers bring people to the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, can I get your number? Can I? No. You know, when you leave, show up again. You know, don't just show up because you got a van ride and they're dropping you off here. You know, when you show me that you're actually coming, you know, is when I'll give you my phone number, you know, and everything like that. Like you said, like buying people books. You know, I watch people, you know, and I shared last night at one of the marathon meetings, I probably bought like 15 basic texts in the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe two people are still around. The other ones are doing lines with my damn books, you know, and shit. But it's okay. I don't care. The money doesn't matter.
Uh-uh.
You know, it's passing the message on to somebody, You know, and I watch people and I see the desire that they may have, you know, and I look for that. Like, when I go in and do an H&I commitment, if one person listens to me and gets it, like you said, I'm doing God's work, you know, and that's important to me. Yeah, it's like real important to me. You know, I mean, I would take the commitment to chair it, but I don't drive. You know, so I can't take a commitment that I can't guarantee that I'm going to get to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I tell everybody that has the commitments in my area, all you got to do is call me and come get me. You know, I'll be there. You know, I'll go in there and bring the message, you know. But, like, yeah, you got to be real careful because, like everybody said, you know, you get some girls in there, and men too. I don't mean to just say women. You know, if you bring a woman in there, some guy might be like, yo, let me get your phone number. You know, and then next thing you know, like you said, they'll put money on my books. You know, yo, send me a couple of dollars. I'm in rehab. I need smokes. You know, and you can get taken advantage of because we're drug addicts. You know, we're con people. You know, one of you said we're like the smartest people in the world. We are. You know, like you said, like I used to wake up with a dollar, stay high all day. Now I wonder why, how come I don't have any money? And I have to pay my bills. You know, and I have more money now than I ever had. You know, and stuff. But like, yeah, we can get around people. You know, but it's I think H&I is probably like the most important thing that we do. You know, because some, like you said, some of these kids never heard it. You know, and then you go in there and, like, you might have some people my age, your age, you know, our age, you know, just coming into treatment, you know, after 30 years of degradation, you know, and they need to hear the same exact thing that the kid that's been getting high for a year and doesn't know how to live gets to be our age.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always say, I don't want them to be me. You know, I don't want them to take 35 years of active addiction in order to get it right.
Yeah.
You know? And everything, but H&I is so damn important. Yeah, that's all I got. I'm sorry for rambling.
No, that's okay. It's okay. Share.
Anybody else? I'm Dave. I'm an addict.
Hey, Dave.
You know, I was taught early in recovery that service was imperative to my recovery. And I've been here, you know, for a little bit of time, and I've had a service commitment in the Pittsburgh area, you know, for a long time. And it's funny because I've been blessed. My background, I'm a nurse, is my background, and I've been a nurse for a number of years. So at the end, and I'm at the, I know that I only look 24, but I'm much older.
All righty.
At the end of my career, I was blessed to get a job in treatment, working in the treatment facility. And I'm telling you that only because what happens is that now I don't bring meetings into the treatment facility, but I want to make sure, like I'm very protective of patients because I want to make sure that somebody's bringing meetings in so that somebody can hear the message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know how important that is, you know, for people from doing H&I. Like I know what it's, you know, I know what it's like to not be able to get to a meeting, to hear the same newcomer with 10 days clean, you know, leading the meeting. Not that they don't have anything to add, but again, we need to offer people some hope. You know, and the funny thing is that when I first started working this job, and listen, we're all liars, cheaters, and manipulators, okay, when we come into the rooms. I mean, facts are facts.
We're the best.
You know, so I work around it every day. Okay, and I see, and I use this term out of love, but I see these knuckleheads every day.
Yes.
Okay, trying to run the game and trying to do whatever. And I was at a meeting one time. I had just started back. I had broken my ankle, and I was just starting back in my H&I stuff. And I was at a meeting, and I said to somebody, I said, you know, I work in treatment, and I do this day in and day out, you know. Like, I don't know whether I still need, why do I still need to do this service commitment? You know, like, I'm trying to give back every day. And this woman pulled me aside afterwards and said, because that's your job. That's your job. Your service commitment is your recovery. You know, your job is your job. And it was like a simple thing like that was like a slap in the face, like, all right, shut up, go back and do the service commitment.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and, you know, with that, I'll just pass. this gentleman that just walked in, you have anything to share about H&I?
Yeah.
You say do it?
Do it.
Oh, he did that because I know. That's anything else that anybody needs to share, cares to share, wants to share, chooses to share? Okay. We're going to give you 25 minutes back. Can we please have the reading of We Do Recover?
My name is Bill Manatic.
Hey,
Bill. Bill.
We do recover. Went down the road, we finally can no longer function. As a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma.
What do you do?
There seems to be this alternative, either go on as best we can with the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, find a new way to live. Years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, some boy has been proving himself in the lives of many addicts. Is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program that has narcotics and all.
Thank you, Bill. May we please have the reading of the third step statement?
I'm an addict named Bill.
Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Many addicts have said, take my will and my life, guide me in my recovery, and show me how to live.
Thank you.
Thank
you. If you guys can please bring the readings up or just raise your hand, and I'll be more than happy to walk and get them. Thank you all for coming. Thank you all for your attendance.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you.